We've been getting accountability all wrong in the compliance industry. It's not a set of tasks. It's a way of thinking, and it has to come from the heart as well as the head. On Accountability, the Heart of Compliance, Tom Fox and Sam Silverstein dig into what accountability means to the corporate compliance function and business organizations, and most significantly, how to make it an integral part of your culture. Accountability, the Heart of Compliance is a production of the Compliance Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone. Tom Fox back again with Sam Silverstein for another lesson in accountability going forward. Sam, this coronavirus crisis is truly a crisis that you and I have not seen, and really one for the United States, probably health-wise since the Spanish influenza attack or Spanish flu in 1918. But it,
yeah, and I didn't see that, but you might have. I don't know.
I'm a student of history.
Okay. Yes. Very good.
And the thing that struck me was how companies are responding. Of course, we're in the middle of an economic downturn now as well, in addition to the coronavirus crisis.
Right.
But how companies are accountable and what their values will be going forward during this crisis is now being challenged, and why we believe that accountability is even more important now. Mark Cuban gave an interview where he said that companies will be judged on their actions now, and they will be judged by the marketplace. They will be judged by employees wanting to work for them. They will be judged by their shareholders and stakeholders. Why is accountability even more important now in the midst of this crisis than it was perhaps even a month or 6 weeks ago?
Well, you know, it's like everything is fine when everything is fine. Your true character shows up when you're under stress, when you're under pressure. And when I say your true character is a leader, your true character is an individual, and your true character is an organization. And that an organization has character or, you know, lacks character, just depending on the situation. If we're putting profits before people, then I'm personally questioning that way of thinking, because accountability is keeping your commitments to people, and one of those commitments is a safe place to work. Now, I'm not just talking physically safe, I'm talking emotionally safe. But it's people's safety. It's important. And when people think that you care more about the bottom line than you care about them, then why should they care more about the business? When people know that you care more about them than the business, then they're going to care more about the business than even you might. That's when they work incredible hours. That's when they would rather do anything than let you down. And so when an organization and the leader of an organization, through example, through action, not through words, shows their people that their people matter. Those people aren't going to leave. Those people aren't going to go someplace else. And when they come back from a layoff because of the virus, they're going to work doubly hard. They're going to double down because you had their back. They're going to have your back. And this what happens is this accountability actually builds a stronger organization and builds a more profitable organization. But you have to be willing to look long term. Why would somebody want to work for someone who doesn't care about their safety and well-being? That doesn't make sense. But if I know that you care about me as a human being and you care about my safety and well-being, then why would I ever want to leave? And so I think Mark Cuban is right on track. Not only will your workers, but the marketplace will forever brand you based on how you lead through this crisis. And so when an organization puts people first, it creates a brand that people want to attach to. And when an organization puts profit first, then you're creating a brand that actually repels people and they would rather find a substitute.
So I'm going to now, in addition to having shown off my great historical skills, show off my great linguistic skills. Because
that's always in play.
You use the word brand as a verb and a noun. I'm not going to really focus on your use of it as a verb, but I do want to focus on your use of it as a noun, because Mark Cuban also used the word brand as a noun. Mark Cuban, I think, meant it as what is your image, but my definition of brand is what is your relationship? What is your relationship with your stakeholders, your customers, your employees? What is your brand? And when you use the word brand in the context of accountability, to me, that was absolutely spot on for how I see a brand, which is what is your relationship? And if you think of your brand, your company's brand, as what is your relationship to every stakeholder you have, investors, shareholders, employees, third parties, the communities you live in, others, customers, those you do business with, those you may be in roundtables or councils with. And if you don't think about it as your image, but if you think about it as your relationship, you have to be accountable to all of those, and they have to be accountable to you. And so when Mark Cuban said it will define your brand, I read it and heard it as it will define your relationship and your series of relationships. And Mark Cuban also said, this is not a safety issue. This is a business. He sees it as a business issue. Or he said, that's not fair. He said, it's not just a safety issue. It's a business issue. And that's what perhaps businesses don't understand, that accountability is a business issue. It is absolutely, you have to have it to be successful with your stakeholders.
Exactly. And, you know, we have our accountability index, which is a cultural assessment that actually measures accountability in the corporate culture of an organization. And we can tie the results of that accountability index, not just to ways to improve accountability, but we can tie it to performance results on the bottom line. Accountability pays. Accountability connects to the bottom line in dollars and cents. The challenge is that many leaders don't realize that. They don't see that. They think that the immediate profits that we show today is more important than building an organization that is known for its accountability and the long-term profits. Because what happens is, look, you can go into any organization and crack a whip and get your people to work harder this afternoon, increase productivity short term, and drive profitability. You can go into any organization during this virus and try and force people to come to work and put out some products and services, generate a little revenue, and have more profits than someone else. But long term, you've just shot yourself. When you make long term decisions are always made when you put people first, not profits first. But when you make long-term decisions, what happens is you retain the best people. You attract the best people. When an organization has the best people, they win. When an organization has the best customers, they win. These are long-term decisions, but it's based on accountable relationships. And you nailed it when you said brand is relationship. You know, the Golden Arches of McDonald's, that's their brand, the Golden Arches. But that's not what either attracts or repels customers. It's the relationship with those customers that either attracts or repels those customers. And so how you treat your people not only impacts your people, but it impacts what the world is seeing right now. And you want to build relationships with the world if you want to be a global brand that is successful, profitable, and sustainable over time.
So, Sam, there's another example that goes diametrically the opposite direction, and I'm just going to read the quote because I don't think I could embellish it anymore. Dick Kovacic, the former CEO and chairman of Wells Fargo, told Bloomberg News that we will gradually bring those people back and see what happens. Some of them will get sick. Some may even die. So here we have the CEO. He's no longer CEO of Wells Fargo, thank God. But he's recently been on a member of the Cisco board and a former executive at Cargill, saying that bringing employees back to a situation where they might die is a reasonable option in his eyes. Is there anything you can say about that?
Yeah, well, so first of all, we're talking about the former CEO of an organization that is probably one of the least accountable organizations on the face of the planet. Not only that, they haven't done anything to address that. They certainly haven't called you or me to come in and help them with that problem. And that's that that option is certainly on the table. But who wants to go to work for somebody who basically sees you as a lab rat? You know, that's what he's saying. Our people are lab rats. We'll inject them and we'll see if they live or we'll see if they die. That's not how you treat people. That's not how people want to be treated. But so first of all, how does he even think that he can say that and be seen in a good light? But the reality is there are vast swatches of people out there that believe what he says, that buy into that, that accept that. And they go, well, that's just the way that it is. No, it doesn't have to be that way. We do not have to sacrifice people to figure out if it's the right time to go back to work. It doesn't have to be that way.
Sam, you started off this podcast by saying everything is fine when everything is fine. And what the way I was thinking through it is that when it is a true crisis, that's when you're supremely tested. And that's when your true values
absolutely
come to the surface. And obviously, former CEO of Wells Fargo, we saw his true values. And that really leads to me to want to end with what I also started with, which is why now? Late March 2020, in the midst of this coronavirus health crisis, why is accountability even more important today?
Accountability is based on keeping your commitments to people. One of those commitments is a commitment to live the values. It's the values that connect us. We can all believe different things, but we can agree on a set of values. It's the values that, when lived, is going to help us individually get through crisis, but it helps organizations get through crisis. Because basically, your set of values, if they're constructed properly, and if they're an excellent set of values, not just look good, feel good, but there's a lot of dynamics that goes into creating an excellent set of values. But if they're proper and you're living them, what happens is those values are basically every decision you'll ever need to make prior to the instant or the issue or the incident presenting itself. And so those organizations that have an amazing set of values and know how to live those values in every decision they make, they're going to face this crisis with so much more calm, with so much more control, and in a better state. They're going to make better decisions. And coming out of the crisis, they will accelerate and their rebound, and they will rebound faster. Accountability positions people and organizations to come out of a crisis better, faster, and positioned for future growth and sustainability.
Sam, unfortunately, we are near the end of our time for this episode, but I greatly look forward to continuing the conversation.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Accountability, the Heart of Compliance. If you enjoyed the episode, make sure to subscribe and leave a review.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.